Hey guys, welcome to the Progressive Vibe. I am your host, as always, Dodrick. Today's date is May 29th, 2022. This is season 6, episode 11, and the title of this episode, Gun Carnage in America. So today's episode, unfortunately, is going to be a little bit dark, a little bit rageful, but the rage is honestly warranted, considering the recent events that has transpired. I'm sure everyone has been up to speed with the latest massacres that has happened here in America, with the Uvalde, Texas, and the Buffalo, New York massacre. It's pretty dark times that we're living in, but I feel like it is necessary for us to discuss. And yeah, guys, so you know, on today's show we will talk about the senseless gun massacres that routinely happen here in America. What steps and measures as a society can we take to try to curtail this awful trend? But before we get into today's show, quick few things. Thank you to the listeners of the TP Vibe podcast for always showing an enormous amount of love to the show by you guys sharing it on social or even personally donating your own money to the show. It helps us sustain future episodes and gives us a bigger voice to bring more people in the Progressive Vibes circle. And again, the listeners of the show make that happen. And I can't thank you enough for doing what you do. It is greatly appreciated. The Progressive Vibe, you can catch us anywhere you can listen and get your podcasts. So if you are an Apple user, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. If you are a Google user, you can find us on Google Podcasts. We're also on the award-winning Good Pods app. You can find us there. We are also on Spotify. So again, anywhere you can pretty much get your podcast, listen to podcasts, we should be on that platform. Check out the podcast website. There you can check out our recent and past episodes. You can also subscribe there and never miss a new episode of the TP Vibe podcast. The website is theprogressivevibe.com. And once again, there you can check us out and get caught up to speed with our past episodes and our recent episodes. Last but not least, there's actually an easier way to do all of this. If you like to follow me on Twitter at @Dodi_vibe, that's DODI_VIBE. There on my page is a Linktree button. And when you hit that link tree, it'll take you everything to do with the Progressive Vibe podcast. So from there, it'll go to my, it'll show you my Facebook page, the Twitter page, the Good Pods page, Cash App, the website. So from there, if you follow me, only if you like to, no peer pressure, guys. I do follow back, though. I'm not one of those people who only wants people to follow me and I don't follow back. I do follow back. So yeah, but anyway, from there you can follow me on Twitter, Dodi_vibe, and hit that Linktree button and check us out on all of those good platforms. And on that note, guys, let's get into today's sad and unfortunate show. Hey guys, welcome to the main show. So this is going to be a pretty difficult topic to talk about, considering I have a younger brother that goes to school. He's in high school, and although I don't have a kid of my own, I can definitely relate to this matter, because I have people in my circle who do have kids, and they are very concerned about sending their kid to school, rightfully so. And it's just so sad to see, so sad to hear these senseless massacres that routinely happen here in America. And it seems like we get numb to it, and something else will come up and it'll take our attention off of the last tragedy, and we just typically move on. And I hate that. I hate that about our society, because we shouldn't normalize what's going on here, because it's not normal. And we shouldn't try to explain the unnormal. You know, things like this should hit home with anyone. If you do have kids, if you don't have kids, if you are in the Buffalo, New York massacres case, if you're just going in the store and grocery shopping, you shouldn't have to worry about getting mowed down by someone that has a military-grade assault weapon that can kill groups of people within seconds, within minutes. You know, and I know people who listen to this podcast are conservative. I know people. I'm not going to call any names, but I know a few people who listen to the show regularly that are conservative. And they are pro Second Amendment. And I just want you to know, when I speak about matters like this, I'm not coming from a place of wanting to take your guns and all of that stuff. It's about actually solving the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is we have lackadaisical gun control laws in this country. We don't have any. We just don't have any. I'm all about, I have people in my family. Everybody has people in their family that loves guns. You know, I have people in my family that loves to go hunting. But when I talk to them about matters like this, they tend to agree. And it's not always coming from what you hear from, I would like to say, a lot of Republicans out there, that as soon as you talk about any type of gun control, it goes to 0 to 100 real quick. And they always say the talking point of, well, if we give a little bit on that, then they're just going to just take our guns away from us. And then that's going to start a civil war. How many, like, people, how many kids does it take to get mowed down by these type of guns before the politicians, actually move an inch on any type of gun control laws? I'm honestly asking the question here. Because of the type of system that we have set up here in America, it only seems to benefit the powerful, and everyone else are just the lab rats in their little project. And enough is enough. Enough is enough. Politicians need to start being held accountable for their actions. If you are a governor, if you are a mayor, if you are a senator or representative of your state, and you come out and you say how bad this is, and it's so sad to see, thoughts and prayers, yada, 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 all the talking points. And on the other end, you're taking money from gun lobby corporations. You're taking money from these gun lobbies, knowing that you're not going to vote or do anything about gun control, because you're actually loosening the gun laws in your state to make it easier for anyone to purchase a gun. Whether if they have mental health problems, whether if they're just 18, they're not even old enough to buy a freaking beer, to even freaking buy cigarettes. But it makes sense for a young kid to get a gun, though, of that type of capacity. It just does not make sense. And you know, before I go into any more of this, I wanted to give you guys a little bit of pretext on the incident that happened in Uvalde, Texas, and in Buffalo, New York. This is by the Associated Press, and the title of it reads, "Mass Shooters Exploited Gun Laws Loopholes Before Carnage." And it goes on to say here, "The suspects in the shooting at a Uvalde, Texas elementary school and a Buffalo, New York supermarket were just 18, authorities say, when they bought the weapons used in the attacks." They were both just 18, authorities say, when they bought the weapons used in the attacks. "They were too young to legally purchase alcohol or cigarettes, but old enough to arm themselves with assault-style weapons. They are just the latest suspected U.S. mass shooters whose ability to obtain guns has raised concerns. Some shooters got guns legally under current firearm laws or because of background check lapses or laws enforced failure to heed warnings of concerning behavior. Here's how some suspects in the shootings where at least 10 people were killed got guns." The first one here is in Uvalde, Texas, May 24th, 2022, says 21 dead. Salvador Ramos legally purchased two guns in the days before the attack that killed 19 students and two teachers at Robb Elementary School, an AR-style rifle from a federally licensed gun dealer in the Uvalde area on May 17th, and a second rifle on May 20th. Ramos made the purchases just days after turning 18, the minimum age under federal law for buying a rifle. He also purchased several hundred rounds of ammunition. At least one of the rifles were modeled after the U.S. military's M4 carbine rifle, though without the M4's ability to switch to fully automatic or fire a three-round burst. Ramos was killed at the school by the Border Patrol team. And it goes on to say right here, for the Buffalo, New York massacre, May 14th, 2022, 10 dead. Peyton Gendron, I think it's Gendron, legally purchased the Bushmaster XM15E2S used in the attack on Tops Friendly Market from a federally licensed gun dealer near his home in Coquelin, New York, about 200 miles southeast from Buffalo. In an online diary that surfaced after attack, Peyton said he bought the AR-15 style weapon in January, bought a shotgun in December, and received a rifle as a Christmas present from his dad when he was 16. Last year, Peyton was taken to a hospital for a psychiatric evaluation under a state mental health law after writing, quote, murder, suicide, in response to a teacher's question. New York is one of the 19 states with red flag laws that allow courts to take guns from people posing immediate danger, but that didn't happen with Peyton, who was 17 at the time. State police described his threat as, quote, general in nature. Peyton is charged with murder. So, again, I just wanted to give you guys some pretext on both of the massacres. To the Buffalo, New York situation, they said that he was showing mental health concerns. You know, with the whole mental health thing, you know, mental health is real, you know, and yes, we should as a society take that in great, great regard when it comes to a person or individual. When somebody's crying out to you in whatever way that they're crying out to you, have concern, you know, direct them to their necessary doctor or counselor that can actually hopefully mitigate the problem. But in this case, you know, the cops in this case said, you know, it was just let me see. General in nature. Whatever that means. And so the kid ended up actually doing what he was going to say he was going to do. He actually went to a grocery store and killed 10 folks. And apparently he was racist too. But it's just how we characterize certain people with mental health concerns. And I'm not saying that the Uvalde, Texas young man had or didn't have mental health concerns, because it's showing that his family say he did, and as well as the young man who killed those 10 people in Buffalo, New York, saying that he had mental health signs that ended up leading into this massacre. And, you know, I got a Facebook friend who made a real good point, because if we're going to allocate money to mental health concerns, then let's do that. If we're going to allocate money towards mental health, let's do that. But don't just talk about it. And then the paper trail shows that, like, for example, Governor Greg Abbott, he wants to talk about mental health, but it shows that your state has decreased funding for mental health. So you can't say that you need to increase mental health awareness because it fits your narrative in this case, your political narrative in this case, because you know it looks bad. And then find out that your paper trail shows that you have decreased funding for mental health. And so I was reading a Facebook post from one of my friends, and they just made such a profound point, and I wanted to read and share it with you guys. It says, until the people who defend the Second Amendment with their whole soul are willing to vote for comprehensive health care that includes mental health services, I have no interest in listening to their opinions on mental health and school shootings. I mean, that just encapsulated that whole moment of what we were just discussing. And we have a lot of politicians out there that just talks about mental health and how we need to focus more on that. But they're not for real about it, because when it's time to actually talk about it and especially vote on legislation about it, they're not going to do anything about it. And unfortunately, in this country, it takes someone of power to get affected by it for something to change. And that's a shame, because what we're saying is your kids' lives don't matter. Your siblings, your family lives don't matter. That's what that's saying. And it's sending a scary message throughout the country that everyone should be constantly looking over their shoulder all the time. Whether you go in a grocery store, whether you're dropping your kid off at school, whether you're going to go see a movie. We're talking about the daily doings of human beings just trying to live their life. Happening to live in fear everywhere they go now. And you can only imagine the toll that it takes on a kid who's just trying to grow up, have fun, and live their life. We're going to take a quick break, guys. I need to reset on this. When we come back, we will have more on what transpired in these latest events concerning this devastating school massacre. When we come back, guys, we'll have more of that. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Hey guys, we're back from the break. So let's pick up where we left off. So, you know, just I was reading some articles about the Uvalde, Texas massacre, and just learning devastating details from the kids who survived this atrocity. CNN reporter interviewed a 11-year-old girl, I guess, after the incident. And the 11-year-old girl indicated she had to cover herself up in blood of her already dead classmate so maybe she could camouflage herself to not get shot and killed by the gunman. I've never been in that type of situation as a kid, and I can only imagine what that 11-year-old girl is feeling emotionally, and that's going to be something that she won't be able to get out of her head forever. And that's just so heartbreaking and so sad that the kids in this country can't even be a damn kid without having to have gunman drills in their school, have to worry about it might be their last day forever when they get to school because of the potential of someone coming in and murdering everybody. And stories like this is just, it really contextualizes the sad reality that we are currently living in. I'm gonna just be honest. More importantly, it's a sad reality that we force on our kids in the inaction from us as adults. And, you know, this has a psychological effect, no question, on the youth in this country. And stuff like this happens, and there's still no push for gun control. And you ask yourself why. You ask yourself, why isn't there anything being done? Every nation on earth protects its civilians and its kids. And, you know, this virtually happens nowhere else. Why? Because we have no gun control measures in America. And then we ask ourselves, well, why isn't there any gun control? Because it's a lot of politicians, mainly Republicans, and Congress who takes, yes, bribes from the biggest gun lobby in America, the NRA. It's just a fact. Like, you can look this up right now. You can get a spreadsheet on the senators, the politicians who take gun lobby money and if you put two and two together, you wonder, there's no wonder why they're not speaking up on having gun control in America. It's because the people who finance their campaign, the people who have gave them money, bribes them into not doing that. It's just that simple. And, you know, back to some of the things that played out in the Uvalde, Texas massacre. We got to talk about the cops. We got to talk about the cops. An entire squad of cops were terrified to go up against firearms that they themselves have, or they themselves won't block people from having. It's pretty amazing. And then what happens? It unfortunately gets unleashed upon the kids. Our kids. So the CNN reporter talked to the 11-year-old girl, the girl who camouflaged herself and her dead classmates' blood, about more details into what happened in that moment. And the reporter said the girl explained she was able to get a hold of one of the already shot and dead teacher's cell phone, and she called 911, and she got a hold to a 911 operator, and she said to the 911 operator that they were in trouble, that they needed help. The 11-year-old girl said later she heard the grown-up saying the police were outside and they weren't coming in. The little girl heard that the cops from other parents outside of the school, that the cops were outside, but they weren't coming inside. And the CNN reporter then said the 11-year-old girl student got emotional, rightfully so. And she continued to just ask the question, why didn't they come in? Why didn't they save us? It's sad. It's sad. And yes, she's a child. She's an 11-year-old kid. But in that moment, in that type of situation, she feels like she feels like most of us, how we are feeling. And that's, yeah, why didn't you go in? Why didn't the cops go in? She's feeling just like the rest of us, rightfully so, and asking the question and being honestly dumbfounded. Because I know I'm dumbfounded. Why didn't the cops go in? Why was it that it took so long? It said in the article, it took about 60 minutes for them to go in and respond to the gunman. You know, I'm not a cop. I know people, and I have family who are cops. And when you sign up to be a cop, this is your job. when you sign up to be a cop, you know, I would hope that you know what you signed up for. And those cops should all be fired and replaced. First of all. Second of all, the cops that were out there, and this is the thing, it's not like it was a cop. It was cops that were standing out there while the gunmen was mowing down kids and teachers. And they were waiting for more backup. That's just like being a fireman. And a building's burning with kids, other people inside. And you're not going in because the building's on fire. That absolutely makes no sense. And the governor in Texas knows that it doesn't make sense. Greg Abbott. The senator of Texas knows that doesn't make sense. Ted Cruz. And the police chief, who is over that police department, know that doesn't make sense. So this whole notion of the way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Well, they had him. They had him. And they ain't go in for 60 minutes. And who knows how many lives they had, they could have potentially saved. Matter of fact, it was one parent who actually got arrested, who actually got in handcuffs and was able to, from a friend, somehow able to get the handcuffs off of her. And she waited till the cops turned their back and was doing whatever they were doing. They weren't going into school. So she climbed the fence. She took off. She went inside the school. She saved her kid and she and some other kids. But she got her kid. No armor, no weapon, just courage. Something that the Uvalde Police Department in Texas does not have. Shameful. And you know, if we're being completely honest, are the cops worse than the politicians? Who time and time again failed to do anything. Who are bought by that, say, industry. And the Republican Party seems to not want an ounce of gun control in this country. The Democratic Party signals that, you know, this is bad, but continue to stand around and do nothing. Majority Senate Leader Chuck Schumer literally declared the next day after that massacre that they weren't going to do anything. They weren't going to do anything on gun control. And guess what? Congress is on recess. It's been back-to-back massacres in this country. Kids are dead. Old folks are dead. And Congress goes on vacation. How about that for your government? And what we are seeing is a larger problem within our system. And it's the powerful in this country that doesn't give a damn about ordinary people. They don't give a damn about ordinary people. They look at it like, you know, it might be terrible. This might be a bad thing of what happened. You know, the events that transpired. But the system works for us. It's not our kids. And they aren't going to change anything, even if your kids continuously gets massacred. It's sick. Where's the democracy? There isn't one. A recent poll came out. 88% of Americans want federal background checks. And here's something for the Republican Party. Not the Republican voters, the Republican Party. 88% of Americans want federal background checks, including the overwhelmingly majority of Republican voters. Yet Republican politicians don't give a damn about their own voters. They don't care. All they ever seem to care about is their donor money. Democrats too. There is one piece of legislation that has the potential of passing universal background checks. 88% of the country wants it, regardless of party affiliation. It's called H.R. 1446. And it has been voted down by the Senate not one, not two, but three times. They just reintroduced that piece of legislation. And what does Congress do? They go into recess until June 6th. You know, Congress say it can wait. It's just unbelievable how little they're doing. It's just unbelievable. And, you know, I want to say good on the reporters. On some reporters asking the White House spokesman, why isn't President Biden doing anything on gun control legislation? That's a perfectly fair question. That's a perfectly fair question because something should be done. Now, Biden went down today, if I'm not mistaken, to Uvalde, Texas, to console and send thoughts and prayers to the families. I'm so sick of thoughts and prayers. Now, I'm a praying man myself. I pray for people. I pray for myself. But God gave me common sense. And the stuff that's been happening, you can't just chuck it up to, I'm so sorry. We as a country have to do better. My thoughts and prayers are with you. No damn thoughts and prayers. These parents ain't getting their kids back. These siblings ain't getting their brother, their sister back. And it happens way too much in this country. We got to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, one more segment of my rant, and we'll go to the social media break of the show. Stay tuned, guys, and we'll be back. Hey, guys, we're back from the break. So I kind of wanted to pick up where I left off at as it relates to mainstream media and its reporters. Now, as I said before we took the break, you know, some reporters asked Biden perfectly fair questions. You also had other reporters asking the question of, why isn't Biden bringing together Republicans and Democrats on this issue? Why don't you get Republicans to work with you? Okay, so let's just get some straight. You're a reporter, and you don't know on every single one of these bills relating to gun control, they have voted no. The Republican Party does not want to pass anything that the Democrats want to do. Hell, the Democrats don't even want to pass what the Democrats want to do. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them. So this whole narrative of why don't you get Republicans, more Republicans to sign on what you're doing, is because they have already given their answer. They voted no. And you try to frame it like the Dems, like the Democrats don't want to reach across the aisle, or they haven't made an attempt to reach across the aisle on this matter, on this particular matter. Then you're not reporting. That's just such a like nonsense, baseless question to ask. What are you doing to bridge Republicans and Democrats on this issue? What are you talking about? When will mainstream media start asking the question to these senators? Like, I don't know, that takes money from the NRA and the gun lobby. Isn't it the money as to why they continue to vote no on any type of gun control legislation? To me, if I was a reporter, if I was in mainstream media news, that would be the type of questions that I would ask politicians. Well, your spreadsheet says that you've took hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars from the gun lobby industry. So maybe is that why you continuously vote no on gun control legislation? It doesn't sound too far-fetched, right? And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, it was Friday. The NRA actually had a convention and in Houston, Texas, literally days right after the Texas massacre. Showing you where the NRA priorities lie. Making money, selling more guns. It's just like, it's so disgusting. Like, how are you over, if you're a CEO of the NRA, how can you put that, reschedule that, cancel that event? But it shows you where these corporations, specifically the NRA, priorities lie. They don't give a damn about them kids. Ron Johnson, Senator, he's the senator out of Wisconsin. He took $1.2 million from the NRA. He was at the event. He was on TV recently on one of these mainstream media news channels. I want to say it was, I don't know if it was CNN or Fox, but I think it might have been CNN. But saying that America needs more prayer. We need more faith. That's what's going to solve the mass killings in America. More prayer and more faith. And again, with that type of answer, you wonder why he took $1.2 million from the NRA. Let's go to somebody who is the a senator of that state. Ted Cruz, senator out of Texas. He took over $300,000 from the gun lobby. So again, we got to ask ourselves, isn't it the bribe you took from the NRA, from the gun lobby, to lead you to these actions of doing nothing? Like, if you're not a reporter, and if you don't know that, then, like, come on, get real. You're in the wrong line of business. Mainstream media needs to stop asking softball questions when it relates to atrocities like this. There's no picking sides. There's no Democrat said this, Republican said that. There's no reaching across the aisle. It should be a humanitarian addressment of this because it affects everyone. Everyone can die at any time. Anyone can get shot at any time. But we have to have a, what does it say in the Second Amendment in the Constitution? You know, it's so crazy how, like, all these people are like pro-Constitution, but when it talks about the Second Amendment, they're just so like one-track minded. No, it says Americans have the right to bear arms, but a well-regulated militia, a well-regulated militia, well-regulated. We don't have any regulations. Somebody that's 18 years old who can't even buy alcohol or tobacco can purchase a automatic assault weapon that kills groups of people in seconds. I just want that to sink in to everybody. And the only way we might get any type of movement on this issue is for something eye-catching to happen, because since we're just such a reactionary society, maybe someone like Beto O'Rourke, a fierce gun control advocate running for governor in Texas. And again, I have no love for the Democrats, as you can tell. If you are a daily or if you are a frequent listener of my podcast, I give the Democrats hell just like I do the Republicans. But we have to start somewhere. And Beto O'Rourke has, yes, he has been a fierce gun control advocate. And, you know, he tried to run for senator a year or two ago against Ted Cruz, and he fell short by a little bit. And now he's trying to run for governor, which I think he has a very good shot of winning against Greg Abbott. And if some way he ends up unseating Governor Greg Abbott, maybe, just maybe, all of these power-hungry chasing politicians will be so concerned about the about their own power that they will support wanted legislation by the majority of Americans, regardless of a party affiliation. That's so important. A lot of this wanted legislation that the majority of Americans want in this country, it is regardless of party affiliation. And if something like that was to happen, to where Beto O'Rourke would unseat Greg Abbott, that would send a powerful message that, man, even a Republican in Texas can lose. So yeah, maybe I need to do something about gun carnage in America. And it's sad it has to get to that point to where, like, once their power is in jeopardy, then they want to start governing like they got some damn sense. You know, and just a last few things here, guys, before we wrap it up. The mark of a good society in this world is everyone having resources. Everyone. People living the best life that they can live. And it would also involve having an actual functioning democracy. That's the mark of a good society. What's the mark of an unjust society is senseless killings in this country of kids, of minorities, of the elderly. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. I just want to leave you guys with one more poll. Another poll I seen, it was about a ban on assault weapons. 51% of Americans in this country, regardless of party affiliation, approve, while 32% disapprove. So that's almost a 2-to-1 in supporting it versus not supporting it. But we as a society, by our government, are always told things like this are so controversial that it could never possibly happen. No, the people want it. It shows in the polls. It shows in the data. And head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr, made such a profound point the other day. After the game, if I'm not mistaken, because I watched that game, they end up losing. So reporters, he got up on the stage and reporters were asking, you know, what can you do to make changes for the next game? What you got to do to get better, blah, blah, blah. And he just couldn't do it, man. He just couldn't do it. Because right down the road from where they were playing was that Uvalde, Texas massacre. And he said that it's not right. The overwhelmingly majority of people in this country want things to get done by our government. And we have people within our government, particularly the 50 senators that are holding the country hostage right now. And they are. Because they don't want to lose. They're so scared that they're going to lose their power. They're so concerned about losing their power than actually doing the right things that would be beneficial towards the people in this country, including themselves. Just because you're rich don't make you untouchable. And again, I just want to say once more, the mark of a good society, people, is everyone having resources, people living the best life that they can live, and actually having a true functioning democracy in this country. It's the only way we're going to see change. When we come back, we will have the social media break of the show, guys. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Progressive Vibes social media break. This is going to be a quick one because I've already ran it a long time in this podcast, and I don't want to hold you up too long. But it's where I read a few like tweets off of Twitter. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can do this at Dodie_Vibe. That's Dodie_Vibe. And I do follow back. Let's get into the first one right here. This is from Nina Turner. She says, "We need a general strike to get money out of politics." I couldn't agree more. I'm on board. Question is the whole country on board? I feel like we are. I feel like we're there. Just has to be initiated. Ashlyn Mindflowers, this is a good one. She says on Twitter, "Goals are external, intentions are internal. Return again and again to the depths of your intentions." Such a fascinating point. This is from the bro off Twitter, "Repulseful and Relatable Podcast." He says, "Sometimes you have to do things you don't really like doing just to make sure those you love are happy." So true. It's a lot of us that do that out here, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. And I don't think the Repulseful and Relatable Podcast, I don't think that they are about laying down and quitting, nor as I. And I feel like the audience would echo those sentiments. All right, let's go down to the next one. Let's see. It's the last one right here. This is from Jackson White Diablo Chacho of TYT. He says, If Biden eliminates $10,000 in student loan debt for every borrower, then he will have delivered on his campaign promise, which is a good thing. If we want more than that, we have to elect better than that. So true. Biden can't even pass his own agenda. I mean, he did come out in support of $10,000 of student loan cancellation, but he hasn't fulfilled that promise, that campaign promise yet. But if he did deliver on that, that would be a step in the right direction, and it would be a good thing. And but I am a advocate of complete student loan cancellation, cancel all of it. And like Jackson White said, you know, if we want more than that, then we have to be aware of the people who we elect in office. That's going to wrap up the Progressive Vibe social media break, guys. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. Again, if you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can do this at Dodi_Vibe. Again, that's Dodi_Vibe. I follow back. When we come back, we will end today's show. Stay tuned. Hey guys, we're back. That's going to wrap up today's show on the Progressive Vibe, Season 6, Episode 11, Gun Carnage in America. As I said in the intro, today's episode was dark, rageful, anger, sadness. All of those emotions, honestly, I'm still feeling about what's going on here in America. These are dark times, but we do have each other. We do have hope. And I think something will be done about this eventually. It's just the time stamp of when. How many kids is it going to take? How many people is it going to take to get killed in gun massacres here in America? And I just think that we have to continue to hold these politicians' feet to the fire. We have to continue to call them out on their BS. And we have to provide the receipts behind what we're talking about. And we do that here on the Progressive Eye. We give receipts. None of this stuff that I talk about on the show is to cause deflection, is to try to cause confusion. I'm here to relay the facts and speak upon those facts and discuss what can we do as a society to bring a better life for everyone here in this country. Because everyone deserves that. And I don't think a lot of people hear that in their daily lives, but I want you guys to know that I love y'all, and I want everyone to continue to stay safe out there. You know, pay attention, you know, stay alert, and continue to stay progressive. and fight the good fight. I hope everyone has a great rest of your Sunday. Have a great week. Hopefully next episode will be a little bit more lighthearted. But until then, guys, stay safe out there. Stay positive if you can, and stay progressive. And we'll catch you in the next one. Peace and love.